Blog Talk Radio.
Once in a lifetime does a great author set the stage for a wonderful trip into the minds and lives of their characters. Yvonne Mason doesn't just write books, she crafts memorable experiences. Best-selling true crime fiction author Yvonne Mason will leave you on the edge of your seat and checking behind every corner for the weirdos that only real life can breed. Find her books on Amazon.com and make sure you check out such titles like Dreamcatcher, Failure Was Never an Option, The Pink Canary, and Silent Scream today.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, that was a piece of shameless promotion. I hadn't promoted myself lately. I've been busy promoting other people because they're important to me. This is Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason, and I'm going to tell y'all, it has been a week. God love my husband. He hasn't slept in the past 3 nights, so I haven't slept. He finally went to sleep at 5 o'clock this morning, so if I lose my train of thought, it's because sleep deprivation is an interesting thing to try to work around. But other than that, life is wonderful. Life is good. And this morning when I ran the numbers, ladies and gentlemen, we are so close to 60,000 listeners on this show. It's frightening. Literally, it is frightening. We are at 58,000 plus listeners on this show alone. This show's not even 2 years old yet. It's barely a year old. And because of all of y'all, all of my guests, like my guest tonight, author Ellie Perez, this show is successful because it's not about me. It's never been about me. It's been about the people I bring on my show, and our show, not my show, our show, and they keep coming back. I don't know if I scare them into coming back or they're afraid not to come back, but they come back, and I am so grateful for it because it keeps them in your vision, and you get to see more of who they are and what they do, and I am so, so grateful for all of y'all and all of my guests. We're heard in over 70-plus countries. And when you add all the podcasts this show was heard on, we're almost to 80,000 listeners. When you see 100,000 listeners over the horizon on a show that's not even 2 years old yet, that's kind of scary. But it's a good kind of scary because the people that all said, no, you can't do this or you can't do that, well, I just want to thank them. Because we're doing it, ladies and gentlemen. And in Australia, God love you. Y'all are my biggest, biggest supporters and listeners. And I have to give a shout-out to the Teske Brothers. They are from down under, and they sing blues like Eric Clapton and Johnny Lang and B.B. King and Otis Redding, Robert Johnson, all rolled into one. And they've just won a major award in Australia, and I am so, so happy for them. So way to go, guys. Yeah, I'll play some more of your music because I want people to hear you. Now that we've got the housekeeping out of the way, and if my voice fades in and out, I'm working on bronchitis or pneumonia, I'm not sure which. So if my voice fades in and out, just bear with me. Tonight I have a very, very, very wonderful guest, author Ellie Perez. I met her last year at an event I did in Cocoa, and there is just something about this woman's aura that just draws you into her. She is not only personable, she is funny, she is grounded, and she loves life. She is known on Facebook, she goes by Laura E. Perez, but she writes under Ellie. No, y'all can't go, you just got to wait. She has several books, short stories, and poems under her belt, and she's got many more in the works, ranging from thrillers to time travel, reapers, and the paranormal to romance for all ages. She writes the stories that need to be written. Her motto from the beginning, strong women, strong stories. Ellie has become a regular presenter at the Orange County Library on writing topics, and she loves to promote local resources. Her writing role model, her mother, Laura Lesmilla, and I hope I did not destroy that name, who Laura grew up watching as she worked full-time, raised 3 girls, and rode into the night. Laura lives in Orlando with her partner in life of over 27 years and works full-time as a Ladies, are you ready for this? As a martial arts instructor and program director, as well as running her newly formed LLC, Palmas Publishing. As an indie writer, her philosophy is to be able to pay it forward, and she hopes to assist other writers in achieving their publishing goals. Laura just has to avoid the squirrels that cross her path. And, Laura, I know all about those squirrels. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Well, thank you for having me.
I understand about the squirrels. Oh, there goes one now.
And I actually wrote a short story about squirrels, a demonic squirrel, actually.
Oh, a demonic squirrel. Oh, we have to talk about that one for sure.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, I know that your mother is your hero, and she apparently was a very strong woman as well. Tell me about Laura. Tell me how you got on this journey. I mean, not only are you a writer, you have a publishing company, you're a martial arts instructor and program director. And, ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand that the world of martial arts has just now, I would say, and correct me if I'm wrong, Laura, but just in the last 5, 10, 15 years, I don't want to say allowed, but offer the opportunity for women to become martial artists. And Laura and I will talk about that because we both agree women should know martial arts in some form. So tell me about your journey because this is so interesting.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I used to watch my mom, you know, and she was always writing stories, always writing poetry. And, you know, she'd be up till 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was a daydreamer. So it was hard to keep me focused. It was hard to keep me on task. I was a little brainy in school, so I got picked on. But I used to just make up stories. And I would jot some down, but I didn't really apply myself until I had a significant change in life. I'm a survivor of domestic violence, so things happened that were contrary to my personality, contrary to who I am and who I believe myself to be. And I started writing a story. And honestly, the bad guy in that story is based on my ex. And I started writing it, and I kind of got lost along the way, and I let life interfere, and I put it aside. I picked it up 13 years later after a change in jobs and my lovely wife, Maria, who encouraged me to keep writing and to finish it, and I did. I finished it. And that story was my first story, Beauty of Fear. And I haven't stopped since.
I understand where you're coming from as being a survivor of domestic violence, because you and I have talked. I lived in it for 18 years.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
We do not use the word victims, because when we use the word victims, they still have control.
Exactly.
So as survivors, we win because we're still here, we're still strong, and we still live our dream. Would that be a fair statement?
Most definitely. And I would even go as far as to say more than a survivor, we're thrivers.
Exactly. You are exactly right.
We don't let that hold us back.
And it doesn't define who we are either. Sure, it was a defining moment in our lives, but it doesn't define who we are unless we allow it to.
Not at all. Not at all. And the thing, hold on one second. La perra. The thing that, for me, it defined me in a certain way because it made me stronger.
Yes,
it made me
a
lot stronger. It made me more of a person, more of the person I wanted to be.
And I have a thing I say at the end of the show, but it is appropriate for right now because of what you just said. The difference between who you are and who you want to be is what you do. So
exactly.
You did not allow, nor did I allow, those moments to make us who we are, it helped us to be who we wanted to be.
Exactly. Exactly. And I was lucky enough to have the support of a wonderful woman who I fell in love with a long time ago and who I continue to love to this day. And if not for her, I don't think that I would have completed what I've completed so far and that I would have gone as far as I have.
And that's very important because we as artists sometimes can be sort of insecure is not the word, but it's we have that thing of, oh, we're really good enough, especially if we've been told all of our life we're not. And to have that support of even just one person who encourages us to just let it go and be who we want to be and do what we want to do is worth all the gold in the world.
It certainly is. It certainly is. My mom has always been supportive, and she continues to support me as well. And I've had the privilege of being able to publish some of her work.
Wow.
And she continues to write. She's 87, and she's still writing.
Now, does your mom live in Puerto Rico, too?
No, my mom is actually Peruvian. I consider myself a PPRA, a Peruvian Puerto Rican American.
You got the best of all three worlds.
Yes, I do.
Because the Peruvian people are some of the sweetest people I have ever met in my life.
They can be, most definitely. But I'll tell you what, my mom is, and I have to say it this way because we just had this discussion yesterday, actually, on the phone. She is the most devout and proudest American, I think, I've ever met.
Well, tell her I am proud of her becoming an American.
Oh, that's like one of her shining days is the day that she became an American citizen.
Well, we are glad
because she did it on her own.
And she came into the country on her own in the right way. She
exactly.
did what she had to do, and she should be proud of that. And I am proud of her.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
she.
You very much.
When you talk to her again, tell her that the lady on the radio said, I know it's probably been years since she's been here, but welcome to America, and I'm very proud that she calls herself American.
I will definitely tell her.
Because she is.
Yes, ma'am.
She definitely is. If we could all be that proud, how much greater would our country be?
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, how in the world, my darling friend, did you get involved in martial arts?
Well, you can blame Bruce Lee and my cousin, Rudy, my older cousin Rudy, who was in the military when he came back. This was Vietnam era, 73, 74. And the first thing that he showed me was how to do a horse stance and how to throw punches. And I was absolutely fascinated. And my father started taking me to, you know, martial arts movies, karate movies, and I just fell in love. But financially, was never able to really follow up with anything. You know, my parents weren't well off, so we couldn't afford to do anything. So I was kind of like the Karate Kid, self-taught. I would buy Black Belt magazine, I would watch things on TV, and I kind of taught myself a couple things until I had kids of my own. And once I had kids of my own, I was able to have them do martial arts a little bit of Kung Fu Do, and they hated it, and I loved it. So, again, I ended up taking a break, and it was just one of those things, you know, financial again. And when it was my granddaughters who were there, I was their buddy for class one day. So here's this 37, 38-year-old woman in class with a kid. And I basically walked off the mat, walked into the program director's office, sat down and said, how much is this going to cost me?
Wow.
And I haven't looked back since.
Would it be fair to say that every woman on this planet, no matter what country she hails from, what part of the United States she lives in, city, country, suburbia, every woman should know some form of self-defense.
Yes, ma'am. Most definitely. After 9 years under my ex, I was determined I would never be in that position again. My motto is really simple. You get one chance to take me out. If you don't, you're mine.
I like that because I live by that creed. Because
exactly.
Like you, we put up with it for so long that nobody gets that opportunity ever.
No. No. Well, I did in my first book.
Well, that's true. That is true.
I got to deal with him exactly the way I wanted to.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is Laura's mantra. And I want, especially you ladies, I want you to take this to heart because it is very important. Laura says, everyone needs someone, but no woman needs someone to be someone. Laura, explain that. I know what it means, but they may not. So explain what you mean by that.
Basically, is once a woman has the strength to be her own person, then her other half is within her. But if she finds that one person that actually can truly complement her, as I've been lucky to find, I didn't need to find her, but I found her. But I'm still okay. I'm okay going forward with her. I'm okay going forward. I wouldn't want to be without her, but I can still be a person. But in regards to the male-female, you don't need anyone to make you who you are. I expect Maria to be able to be her own person just as I am my own person. But, Lord, do we complement each other. And we complement each other in such a way that's beautiful.
And you're supportive of each other. If this is what some of our friends tell my husband and myself. I am formidable by myself. He is formidable by himself.
Exactly.
But together, we're unstoppable. And
exactly. And that's how I feel with her.
Uh-huh.
I feel unstoppable.
And nobody gets in your way.
No. No. Because I'll tell you what, she'll take them out.
Good for Maria, I'm going to tell you. Give that woman a hug from me.
Yes, ma'am.
Because
whenever I introduce her, people are like, who's that? I'm like, that's my Maria. She's my Maria.
Absolutely. So let's also talk about something else. You also now have a publishing company.
Yes, ma'am.
Is this part of your mantra of paying things forward? Because you, like me, have had help along the way on this journey, and we both like to pay it forward because we like to make other people successful, which in turn makes us successful. So with your publishing company, do you bring in other authors?
So right now I have one that is officially under Palmas Publishing, and I have several who I've basically consulted with, and I've kind of pointed them in the right direction on where they wanted to go. I don't force anyone. The biggest reason I did this also was for myself to have, I'm not publishing just under L.E. Perez. I have a company. I am the company. And if I can help someone and I can teach them a little bit, then I'll do it. The one writer I have right now, she writes middle grade. I have another gentleman who wants to do a nonfiction. And I actually have a meeting tomorrow just to kind of point a young man in the right direction at 3 o'clock. And it's one of my students.
Wow.
His parents, he wrote a story. His parents are very tickled by it, and they want to know what I think about it. So I've already read through it. I have a list of questions for him. It doesn't matter that he's only 8 years old. He has to know what he's writing.
Absolutely.
But this is theirs. And I'm just going to kind of point them in the right direction, how to do what they need to do if they want to do it.
If when you get a writer, and granted this young man is 8 years old, and they want to know what direction to go in, what advice do you give them? Because I know we've got people out there going, okay, tell me more.
Well, for me, like, I still work full-time. My goal eventually is to just be writing full-time, and managing my company. But we don't all have that luxury. So one is don't give up on your dream. If you want to write, you write. Figure out what you want to write, what's inside of you that needs to come out, because that's basically all a story is, something that needs to come out or a story that needs to be told.
We all have stories that need to be told.
Exactly. So when I do these sessions at the library, I get a lot of folks, you know, that want some feedback. Can you read this? Can you do that? And I'll do some minor editing, or I'll give them some tips and tricks and little things, point them in the right direction for where their story needs to go. And I get feedback from them. So if this is something that they really want to pursue, I don't sugarcoat it. This isn't easy. Most definitely it's not easy. But it's something that's so rewarding.
And it's something that if their craft is true, that they cannot not do it.
Exactly. And that's me. So I tend to write by hand, but I also will dictate into my phone. I have over 300 notes with different story ideas, different scenes, different, you know, just dictated into my phone. Because no matter where I am, I have to write. There's never a time I don't have a notebook. I can't go to Disney without having a notebook with me.
Disney's supposed to be a fun place to go.
Well, it is. People watching is amazingly fun.
It is.
And Disney is one of the best places to people watch. Disney, Universal.
I tell you, another place that's great to people watch, and that's in a restaurant.
Oh, yes. I love listening to conversations. And if I hear a couple of words put together a certain way, I'm like, oh, I wouldn't have used that that way, but that's really cool.
Oh, you watch
and
their body language, and you know if it's not an enjoyable meal for them by their body language or the tone of the conversation might not be so much the words they're using, but the tone of the conversation. Yeah, that's one of my husband's and I's best pastimes is people watching in a restaurant.
Oh, yeah. It's so much fun. It really is. And I have to admit I'm a little naughty. And if someone's appearance catches my eye, something they're wearing or the cut of their hair or something, I'll slip my phone out and just, you know, take a picture.
To be used at a later day.
Just so I can use it later to, like, describe whatever it was.
I love it. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're shameless. We can't help it because...
No, we can't help it.
Our writing world is filled with real people made into characters that come to life in our books.
Exactly.
So, speaking of books, let's talk about the demonic squirrel story.
So a friend of mine, Valerie Willis, who's also an author, had an idea for a demonic anthology, demonic wildlife. And so when I heard this, the first thing that popped in my head was squirrel, because I love squirrels. And squirrels apparently love me because they dictate everything I do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote a story about Sarah Squirrel. Just someone who used to be a man, got turned into a squirrel, couldn't figure out why, wanted vengeance, and found out that the whole reason he was a squirrel was because his name in Spanish was to be a squirrel.
Oh, my word.
That
I love
it. So it had a punchline.
That is too funny. So is this anthology still in print?
Yes, yes. Actually, it just came out on October 1st alongside another anthology that I do, the Thrill of the Hunt anthology. So we're in our
tell
third
me about
book.
That one. Tell me about, because
so,
I've got that on the slideshow, and that
yes,
that
please.
Title just kept intriguing me, so I'm glad you brought it up because I wanted to talk about it.
So Thrill of the Hunt was actually born, the idea was actually born after the 2014 Indie Book Fest. I attended as just, you know, another attendee, a reader. And I had the idea for that, and I signed up to be an author for the following year. And I put out some feelers, and I asked, would anybody be interested in participating in a suspense/thriller anthology called Thrill of the Hunt? And they were like, you know, a couple people expressed interest, and they said, you know, what's the story about? I said, you make up the story. It's up to you. But it has to have these components in it. And so that was the first one. And we had that one ready for the end of the year. Well, then for the following year, I wanted to have it for the following Indie Book Fest. And so I imposed stricter guidelines. We got more authors on board. So we went from 7 authors to 10 authors on that one. And we did well with that. All proceeds from the e-book go to St. Jude's Children's Hospital, and we had an idea for the third one. So my idea for the third one, though, was a little bit of a twist. And for that one, I wanted everyone to write a story based on a particular town that I had created called Whitebridge. And that was hard for folks. That one was way out of the box for folks. Some actually complained because they were like, this is not their thing. I told them, give it a try. I gave them more parameters, more characters to play with, and they ran with it. That one has 13, and that one just came out October 1st.
Well, what you did is you took them out of their comfort zone, which was actually good for them.
Exactly. And these stories are amazing because I also read through them, and this one in particular I had to put in order, in some kind of sequential order because of where it takes place and making sure of when everything takes place. I had to read through them. So I read through them. Big mistake, though, was watching World War Z, the zombie movie, at the same time. So that night, all I dreamt was Whitebridge and zombies.
Oh, my word.
Because it was already creepy enough, and it just creeped me out even more. So if you like creepy, you want to get that one.
That is too funny.
Yeah.
So what you did is you created more or less, even though they're short stories, it's like a book with different chapters, with different authors in a town, with all these parameters, and so they brought their own little nuances to the story.
They certainly did, and because there's witchcraft and rituals and just all kinds of manner of craziness there, today. One of the authors in there, Valerie Willis, who's also an author there, put up a screenshot of where the paperback book rankings were, and it was ranked at 666.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, so that was funny. I kept that.
How interesting is that? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's the mark of the beast, but it'll be all right. Go and get the book. No, you can't go now. You got to wait.
No. Got to wait
till after the show because we have more things to talk about, and one of those things is the Fear series.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, on your webpage, the book cover shows Beauty of Fear.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
And the thing I'm reading, ladies and gentlemen, it says the first one died to pique her interest.
The second one to touch her soul.
The third one died to steal her peace. The fourth makes fear his goal.
Yes, ma'am.
Where in the world did you get that? Where did that line come from? It is perfect.
So that is actually the book that I wrote after that's loosely based where the bad guy is loosely based on my ex. And that's the book I was stuck on for 13 years. Couldn't get past the second, third chapter. And I couldn't figure out why. And I realized that part of it was I didn't like the main character because the main character was me. And I realized, okay, I don't like me. I don't get that. So I didn't like how I was presenting her. I didn't like just the whole angstiness of it. And I was trying to think of things through his point of view and how he made her feel. And that's where those lines came from. And those lines not only became the tagline for that story, but they also became the guide for writing the book.
It's an amazing tagline.
Well, thank you. Thank
it,
you.
It is a truism because that is the way that we feel when we're going through that.
It is. It definitely is. It definitely is.
I got to read it again.
That tagline is his intent.
The first one died to pique her interest, the second to touch her soul, the third one died to steal her peace, the four makes fear his goal.
Yep.
I love it.
That's all he ever wanted from her was to feel fear.
And then you write, violence leaves a stain on your soul, and the fear that accompanies that violence can never be removed. It can be hidden, shadowed, and put away, but throw in just the right set of circumstances, and it will blossom again. And, Laura, that is the PTSD of domestic violence.
It certainly is. It certainly is. And I've actually worked as a domestic violence advocate and a victim services advocate for the Arlington County court system. And, yeah, that's exactly it. I saw it day in and day out, and it was like seeing me reflected.
Wow, I'm reading this book if I can get through it because I still have triggers. Even after I've been divorced since 1991. And the last day he was in my house, he almost killed me.
Mhm.
And you know, you rationalize through it, and you try to come out on the other end of the tunnel, and you work through it, and you become stronger for it. But there's still triggers, and always will be.
Yes, there are. Yes, there are. So, and that's one of the reasons why the martial arts are so important to me. And I actually became a defensive tactics instructor before I started really in earnest doing the martial arts as a probation officer. So I became a defensive tactics instructor for the state of Virginia probation.
Wow. Now, you call this the Fear series. Is there more than one book in this series?
Yes, ma'am. Silence of Fear, God willing, will be out by Christmas. I had to change a couple things in there because part of that story is driven by her, by the main character's kids, and something that they get into that reminds Lee of her own background.
Oh, I can't wait. Yes, y'all can't go now. You've got to wait until after we're done. You're going to miss some good stuff. So let me ask you this. When you finish that book,
mm-hmm.
Was it like a catharsis?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Putting it in a box and closing the box and putting a padlock on it and throwing it in the fire.
Yes, especially the way it ends, yes. Because it ends with hope. It ends with a hope that she wasn't, of something that she wasn't wanting or expecting.
Because, and for those of you who don't, have never been in a domestic violence situation, after a time, there is no hope. Because you become the person they want you to be in order to survive, and still that doesn't work. Would that be a true statement?
Yes, ma'am. Most definitely. But I'm a lucky one, though.
So am I. Yeah, I'm very lucky because I got out.
Exactly.
Of course, it cost me some health issues, but I got out. But at least I'm not dead.
There you go. I feel the same.
I can live with the health issues. Now let's talk about all these beautiful, beautiful books. Devil's Prey and Devil's Cut. What is that?
So I tend to write, I'll get flashes of inspiration from the most nonsensical thing. And I am a sword aficionado. I love swords of all kinds. And I have an old Civil War sword, rusted, that I found at a flea market a long time ago. And I had it on top of my armoire, which I decided to move. I never moved the sword. And the sword actually fell and sliced down my back and cut open my shoulder.
Ooh.
Instead of getting all upset, a story immediately formed in my head. Wouldn't it be cool if, when the sword cut, I could feel and understand the history of that sword?
Ooh.
If I could feel everything that it had ever done. And that's where the Blade Master Chronicles were born. I mean, I had no intention of going that way, but it went that way. And so I looked it up, and there is such a thing called psychometry, where you can sense and feel, the history and or the feelings that are attached to inanimate objects, and I ran with it.
Oh, yeah, I can see that I'm going to be reading a lot of your books. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all can't come over here where I am now. Y'all got to stay and listen to this. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
But Devil's Cut was exactly that. That was the first one. And then I thought I was done with it. I kind of left it so I could have. But folks asked about a continuance, and I realized I had to finish the story. And so that's where Devil's Prey came in.
And again, strong women are your main characters.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
What about When They Call?
Was my short story contribution to The Hunt 2, the one that you have on the flyer, on the
right.
Post. And that one, it was one of those. I've never written a ghost story. I've never written anything really supernatural before. And that's what this one is. This one's a supernatural. And it was one of those things that it just kind of wrote itself. The character came to me. The fact that she rode a motorcycle came to me. The fact that she almost died came to me. But she touched something on the other side. And that something came back with her.
Ooh.
Mm. Yeah. And so it's about when they call. What do you do when they call?
Do you answer or do you just let the phone ring?
Exactly. Well, you find out by the end what you do. And so it actually takes place, you know, she's in Northern Virginia, which is where I moved from, actually. And she comes down to Florida, to Casadaga, the spiritualist capital of the world, to look for help.
That is one place that I've never been that's on my bucket list.
And me too, because now I have to go since I wrote about it.
Yeah.
So I did a little bit of research, and I wrote about it, and I wrote that in, and it ends again with hope. I believe in happy endings, even though I know that in life there are no happy endings. But, you know, I always try to plant that what if, you know. One thing changes, another thing can open.
And that's true. And even if real life is not about happy endings, real life is also about hope.
Exactly. And I think that's more my stories. My stories are very hopeful.
Until we're dead, there's always hope.
Exactly.
Tell me about Lily's Grace.
Oh, Lily's Grace. That one is actually near and dear to my Maria's heart. and to mine. It was, I was invited to participate in a series of paranormal stories called the Hotel Paranormal. It's a place that, you know, paranormal creatures frequent. And the authors that were invited to participate had to choose a paranormal creature that no one else had chosen. Well, my first choice was a phoenix. Someone had already taken that. And so I immediately said Reaper, and I put Reaper in, and I'm like, what the heck am I going to do with that? I don't know what to do with that. So I just started fleshing out who my Reaper was. She already had a name, and it was a she, even though she's kind of androgynous, but it was a she. Her name is Alexandra Dante, or Alex, and she's a Reaper. And if you want to think of what she looks like, it's, I don't know if you know who Ruby Rose is. She's a model. She has a certain look about her. Picture that with hair, wild hair, like Jane from like Rizzolian Isles. You know, who is it, Angie Harmon?
Uh-huh.
And a long leather jacket with the black jeans, black shirt. That's Alexandra Dante.
Okay.
And that's how she appears. And so this is a Reaper who does her job. Until one day, instead of taking a life, she gives a life and is forever tied to that life.
Oh, I can see.
And
I've got
falls
to,
in love.
I got to do some Kindle downloads.
And she falls in love. And the person that she falls in love with has her own issues. You know, she has a lot of issues. She survived something that she shouldn't have survived. Her parents died. She loves her life and hates her life because of where she's at. And she discovers that there has been paranormal intervention in her life, and she is not happy with it.
Uh-oh.
So,
you write some interesting books.
Oh, well, thank you. I try. I kind of run the gamut all over the place. People ask me, what do you write? I go, everything?
Whatever.
Kind of everything. I'm you know. I try not to limit myself because I never know what's going to pop in my head. So.
Well, for instance, what's Dear Laura about? Because the cover of Dear Laura is different from any of the other covers of your book, and all your covers are amazing, but it has its own uniqueness.
So Dear Lorna, I describe as a love story. That's what it is. It's a love story. It's, you know, a cop, a doctor. There's a shooting, and they realize after some bad feelings, bad words, and a tragic incident that they had more than just friendship, that there was more there. And so they work through it together. And that's it's one of those things that it's about growth. It really is, on both sides. But that story is actually has assigned to it my favorite review for any story.
Really?
I had a reviewer who was the lowest I've ever gotten. They haven't come out of the woodwork for the ones and twos, I guess. But this reviewer said, if the way she started it was, if I had known that this was a lesbian love story, I never would have read it. But let me tell you something. She read it. Because she cites stuff in the story. Like, she has a very involved review. And she read it. And she could still only give it 3.
You know why? And I preach this all the time. Because she read it with a closed mind.
Mm-hmm. She did. But she couldn't find fault with it except for that initial statement. Because it was still a love story.
And what people have to do is, when they read something, open their mind to all the possibilities, probabilities, and everything that goes into that story. Just because it was a lesbian love story does not mean that it was a bad story.
Exactly, exactly. And it ended up, I mean, one of my fave readers, and she left a beautiful review as well, but, you know, she admits freely, she only bought that book because I was a new author and I was a table mate to an author that she follows. This is an older lady. And she bought the book. And unfortunately, God love her, her husband passed away last year. And when he passed away, she started reading the book. And she wrote me messages saying thank you because it helped her get through her grief. Because it was just a love story, and it was so sweet and so special to her. And the fact that in the story, the characters write letters to each other. And apparently, she used to do that with her husband. And so it touched her on a level that that's exactly what I was wanting with that story.
And she read it with an open mind. It didn't matter that the characters were two women.
No,
it was a love story.
Exactly. And she read it just that way. And, I mean, she is one of my biggest cheerleaders now for anything I write, you know?
So the lesson that can be garnered from this conversation, and correct me if I'm wrong, Laura, is that, number one, we're quick to judge. We are quick to close our minds to something simply because it makes us uncomfortable for whatever reason. Maybe it's too violent. Maybe it's gay, lesbian. Who knows? But we close our minds to it. And in doing that, we cheat ourselves of learning new things.
Yes, ma'am. We certainly do. As a society, we do that.
Yes, we do.
So why wouldn't it be true of books?
So, ladies and gentlemen, understand, when you read Laura's work, read it with an open mind, because Laura is a very prolific writer. She is a wonderful, wonderful human being, and she's a wonderful, wonderful author. And her stories not only keep you entertained, they keep you engaged. I mean, if I can read the tagline, and I'm already ready to delve into this book, Fear of Beauty, and I can't wait to get my hands on it, that says something for your craft. And for someone to say, if I'd known it was a lesbian book, I wouldn't have read it. The woman cheated herself because she read it, but she read it with a semi-closed mind. She
exactly.
could have learned so much more.
Yeah, she could have. She cheated herself.
Well, we have to educate these, as they say in the South sometimes, we have to edumacate these people.
I believe wholeheartedly in edumacation.
Because, my word, some of the best books that I have read have been different from the normal genre that I read.
Exactly.
And I learned so much.
Me too. I love reading a wide variety of things. There's nothing I will not give a try.
At least once.
Exactly. Exactly. You have to, or else you're not living.
And you're not growing. You're not expanding your knowledge and your intelligence and your intellect. And see, people get those two confused. They think just because you have intelligence, you have intellect.
No.
Or if you have intellect, you have intelligence. No, they're two separate things. You can have one, you may have one and not the other, but if you have both, you've got a gift that is beyond anything else.
That's very true.
Oh, my stars. Yes, we're definitely going to have to educate these people out here.
Yes, ma'am. It would be my pleasure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, remember at the beginning I said she writes strong stories with strong women. Now, I'm probably going to tick off some women here, but as a general rule, women are not, and I'm not talking about physically strong because we know there's no way in hell we're going to be physically strong as a man, but we as a general rule, are not emotionally, mentally, or spiritually as strong as the opposite sex because we've been taught that we are the weaker sex.
So when I teach self-defense, and I generally teach self-defense for women, even though I do, a general thing. That is something that I usually say all the time, that we as women are not taught and we are not raised to be empowered. We are not raised to be strong. We are not raised to be our own persons. We are raised to be reliant upon others. And that's not the truth.
That is exactly right. It is not the truth. Because if you go back in history, especially women that were the, the pavers of the future, and you look at those women, they were strong, empowered women. Even before the feminist movement started, these women were empowered women, and they, in the Civil War, Laura, there were 300 women that fought as men on both sides.
Exactly, and but if you look into their backgrounds, for a lot of them, they were raised in non-conventional ways.
Yes.
You know, and that makes a difference.
It makes a big difference. And you remember the old song in the 70s, "I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar."
Yes, ma'am. I certainly do.
And it's time that we roared, but we do it in such a way that we make an impact, not in the stupid way some of these women try to make an impact. But we empower ourselves by our feminism. Does that make
mm-hmm.
sense?
And through our Yes, ma'am, and through our actions.
Yes.
And through our actions.
Honey, you got to come back.
Yes, ma'am, whenever you want to have me, I will gladly come back.
You and I could talk about this all day long and still never go dull on the subject. And
it has
would
been
it
an
be,
absolute pleasure.
Would it be fair to say, and we're going to run out of time, but I want to throw this out there. Would it be fair to say that it is perfectly okay for women to be who they want to be, gay, straight, it doesn't matter. They can empower themselves to be who they want to be and not have to feel guilty about it.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
So, ladies, you hear what Laura and I are talking about. Empower yourself, because when you empower yourself, you empower others. Would that be fair?
That is most definitely fair, ma'am. And everyone who's ever taken my self-defense class, I think will attest to that very same fact.
So with that thought, I want you to tell the folks where your books can be found. And no, y'all can't go yet. You got to wait till we're done. Where you can be found, when your next event is, so they can bombard you and you can sign lots of books.
Yes, ma'am. I am right now on Amazon exclusively. I am branching out to Nook and to a lot of other venues, iBooks, et cetera, for the digital versions. My books, hard copy books, are available through Amazon, CreateSpace, and Nook, Barnes & Nobles. And I will be at, actually, the Florida Writers Association conference next weekend. I will be there doing a session on fighting and on creating your world. And then hopefully in February, I will be at the Coastal Magic Convention. And then thereafter with you, hopefully at the Space Coast Book Lovers.
Oh, of course.
At the end of May.
I need hugs from you. You give great hugs.
Thank you.
And you can also be found on Facebook, ladies and gentlemen. Look her up, Laura E. Perez, P-E-R-E-Z, on Facebook. Friend her, because she's got that new book coming out, and you want to be the first to get it.
Yes, ma'am. I have my Facebook, my Instagram, My Twitter handle is HonorCPT. That's HonorCPT, and that is a long story, but basically one of my favorite characters in books is Honor Harrington, and so I took that right from there. HonorCPT, Honor Captain.
Listen at you.
That's been me for over 20 years.
you're in a magnificent, and it's such an honor and a privilege that you joined me tonight. This hour's flown by.
No, thank you. I really appreciate it, and I feel privileged to have been able to share this hour with you.
We've had a ball, ladies, and no, she will come back. I promise you. We'll get her back after the first of the year because she'll have some new stories out, and we'll talk
yes,
about
it. Yes, ma'am. I certainly will.
Tomorrow night, join us when Sabine Presley joins us at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, and then Saturday night, write this down, ladies and gentlemen. We will be on at 9 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time with author Joan Hazel. I have to take my son out for his 58th birthday dinner, and it's like a two-hour dinner at Benihana. So I've pushed the show back 1 hour, but join us at 9 o'clock. And y'all all know that I have these things that I say at the end of the show because they're important, and I figure if I say them enough, you'll take them to heart. And one of the things that I say is something that Laura and I have talked about tonight, and it's called don't just feel special, be special. Because when you be special, you empower yourself. And if you want to achieve greatness, would you please stop asking permission, because nobody's going to give it to you.
Exactly.
Just go out and you're right. You have to just go out and take it. Would that be right, Laura?
Yes, ma'am.
So just go out and grab it, ladies and gentlemen. One day you'll be just a memory for some people. Do your best to be a good memory. And I hope with this show, this is what I am leaving behind, is good memories with my guests and my listeners. And again, the difference between who you are and who you want to be is what you do. Your smile is your logo. Your personality is your business card, and how you leave others feeling after having had an experience with you, ladies and gentlemen, that does indeed become your trademark. And if you don't believe me, try it. And I know that Laura will tell you the same thing. The way you leave people feeling after they've had an experience with you, they will remember that experience. They may never remember your name, but they will remember that experience, won't they, Laura?
Yes, they will. I certainly hope so.
And Laura leaves good experiences behind. She's one of the faces in all of the 200-plus or 70-plus or however many of us were at Coco. She is one of the faces that has stayed with me. Her aura is just magnificent. You didn't know I knew that about you, did you?
No.
You have a wonderful aura. It's at peace. It's calm. And it's full of life and hope.
I'm glad. Because
yeah.
That's exactly how I feel.
And it comes through, my darling. It comes through. So, ladies and gentlemen, and when the show goes dark, don't hang up because I got some things to tell you. So, ladies and gentlemen, join us tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time with my guest, Sabine Priestley. Saturday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time with my guest, author Joan Hazel, and be kind to yourself. Be your best friend, because you're okay just the way you are. Never forget that. Any closing thoughts in about 10 seconds or less, Miss Laura?
Strong women, strong stories. Take it to
heart. Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. I'm going to put that up on my refrigerator. Strong women, strong stories. And ladies, be your own hero in your story. So until tomorrow night, this is Yvonne Mason and my wonderful, wonderful guest, author L.E. Perez. Find her on Facebook under Laura E. Perez. Go and get her books. Read them. Leave her wonderful reviews. And join us again tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time when we are once again off the chain. thank you again, my friend. It was an honor, a privilege, a pleasure, and I had a blast.
Oh, thank you. I had a blast, too. That was really cool.
Now, let me tell you how, what's going to happen. When we get off the phone and we hang up and the show goes into archives, I'm going to upload the link to my page and I will tag you in it. I want you to tag this show and promote yourself everywhere.
Yes, ma'am, I will.
Well, it gets better. Tomorrow, because this show is heard on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, FM.com, YouTube, and then I put it up on Spreaker, SoundCloud, MixCloud, Podcast.com, and Podcast Garden. When I put the show up on those five podcasts, I'm going to put the link up on my page and tag you in it. You're going to be heard all over the world.
Outstanding. Thank you so much.
You are quite welcome. And I want you to take those links and I want you to spread yourself around and promote yourself over and over and over again.
I will definitely do that. And I'm going to promote you as well because you're awesome. You're an awesome host.
Well, thank you, honey. I can't wait to see you. And what I'll do is I think I'm booked through March, but I think I'm working on April. So you should have some new workout by then, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right. Let me send you some dates, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Yvonne.
Thank you. You were an awesome guest, even though it was your first time. You were a pro.
Well, you have a good evening.
All right. And hug Marie. Well, you hug Maria for me. See, we were thinking them along the same lines. I'll hug him, you hug her for me.
Yes, ma'am. I definitely will.
All right, darling. Until next time.
Yes, ma'am. Have a good night.
You too, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.